Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, he is back. I know he wishes he could stay here, but he can't. He's got to go back to where all the decisions that are worth anything are made. Even you're chuckling at that. Congressman Ralph Norman, how are you, my friend?
Welcome. Doing great. Happy New Year, Manny.
Happy New Year to you. When do you all go back into session?
We go back Monday.
Monday.
Get this week off, then we go back Monday.
Is anything going to be done besides let's spend all our time looking at this impeachment thing?
You know, I wish I could say that it was, Manning, but no. It's so polarized now, as people can see from the impeachment hearings, what's been held up is unexcusable. What they're doing to the country is not right. And legislatively, no. I will say the good news is the MCA, USMCA, is hopefully going to be signed and into law. Both houses agreed to it. But we've got so many great things that we can be doing. But it's just pure hatred of this president that Nancy Pelosi has. And it shows you can't give them power. They don't know how to use it. And if they did, they don't use it in a fair way.
Aren't we happy that at least it's up to the Senate to decide on judgeships and not to the House? We get nowhere.
Absolutely. This president has named more conservative judges that abide and believe in the Constitution than any president in history. He's done a great job with the economy. Look at what's going on with reinvestment. Look at the businesses that are thriving. And, you know, you don't have to look too far to show in a short, really 2.5 years, this president turned this country around.
I know you were shocked as I was yesterday when I watched a piece of Face the Nation, and they were doing a round table with seven different correspondents, asking questions like, what was the best story of the year? What stories were missed or underreported? What are you predicting for next year? And one of the correspondents, Major Garrett, who does a lot of the White House beat, said one of the underreported stories was the fact that President Trump, who has received nothing but negative publicity for his remarks following what happened up in Virginia, actually, when you take a look at his record for what he's done for minorities since he's been in office, he's achieved more than anybody has, including his predecessor, Obama. I was shocked to hear that coming out of the mouth of the network.
I was too. When I saw the faces of the other reporters around the table, they didn't like what they heard. But Major Garrett's telling the truth. I mean, what president has done what this president has done? He's made promises that he's delivered on every promise that he's made. And for the minorities, I was in Columbia and I was fortunate to ride on Air Force One to Columbia from Washington. And, you know, he was presenting the historically black institutions a great piece of legislation. He honored the Miss Johnson with his criminal reform bill. And it's just been one thing after another that this president has done. Now, you can argue that you don't like his personality. You can make that claim if you don't. I happen to like it. He's a builder businessman is what I call him. He's not a politician. And he's just what this country needed at the right time. And he's going to keep delivering in spite of all the news reporters who just will not give him credit.
And I think a lot of people would say, you know, the tweeting and all the tweeting, you know, why does he do so much of that? Is his skin really that thin? But the other side of that coin is, if you're not getting any positive comments from anybody in the news media, how else can you get your side of the story out? Unless you had a vehicle like social media.
Yeah, and people have turned to that because the news media have lost, the country has lost faith in an unbiased news media. I still don't understand when I listen to the other channels other than Fox these news reporters give their opinion. I'm not interested in their opinion. They're supposed to report the news, not make it. And that's what you're seeing. And that's what the president, why he has to go to a tweet. And as I tell people who criticize him for that, I said, you know, you've got two choices. You can listen to the tweet and follow him, or you can not follow him, and you don't have to read him. But that's, you're exactly right. That's how he gets his message out. Social media, had it not been for that, people would have known what he could do and what he is continuing to do while he's in office.
It is interesting, you referenced earlier, that despite all the impeachment stuff, that the House finally passed, what's it called, the U.S.
MCA, Mexican-Canada
Agreement. MCA, right, which replaced NAFTA, which did not work out the way anybody thought it would. Was that all carefully orchestrated by the speaker to say we can get some things done down here?
Well, it's been sitting on the president's desk for a year now. We've had that done. I mean, people don't realize the president negotiated that to get two countries like Mexico and Canada to agree like they have, and to get the Congress to agree. The Democrats in both the House and the Senate, by and large, voted for it because they knew it was good for the country. I mean, specifically, it opens up, you know, new markets for our farmers, for our car manufacturers. And, you know, NAFTA was over 25 years old. Anything, any agreement needs to be redone as we do our household budgets far sooner than 25, 26 years. So what he did was phenomenal, and she held it because she was getting criticism over not doing anything other than spending the last 2.5 years trying to impeach a man that is extremely popular. They know they can't beat him at the polls. Manny, we got an election in less than 11 months. And let the people decide, and that's what they don't want to happen.
I'm going to ask you one more question about all this impeachment stuff, and then we're going to move on. It's amazing to me that the Speaker of the House is now, the way I view it, is trying to dictate terms to the Senate President, Mitch McConnell, as to how the trial in the Senate is going to be held. You need to call this witness, this. If you wanted to do that, why didn't she just bring all that up when they had it in the House side? I mean,
shows how disconnected she is. I mean, I sat down. I went to the hearings. I'm on the Oversight Committee. I went to the intel meetings. And what they're accusing Mitch McConnell and the Senate of not doing, having a fair trial, is exactly what they had, an unfair trial. It's, according to the Constitution, the House has to bring the charges. The Senate has to be the jury. And they have to weigh the evidence presented by the House. The two articles, they don't have any evidence of it. It's just opinion. I sat there when they had called in the different people who were all against the president, and when they asked him specifically, did he take a bribe? Was he quid pro quo? No, he didn't. And so that's why it's time for those of us to fight for this president. He's fighting for us. And despite the headwinds that he's had, look at the progress this country's made.
Do you see on him personally any wear and tear as a result of all of this? I mean, I know he's like the Energizer Bunny, but day after day after day after day of nothing but negative news, it's got to wear on him, I would think.
What has, you could tell, and we met with him, I guess, 3 weeks before we left, his family. When they start attacking Melania, name me one magazine that Melania has appeared on. I mean, as a contrast, Michelle Obama was on magazine after magazine. They have spoken about his son Barron, and that's what, his face turned red when he talked about his family. He can take it, and he took this job not needing it, but he wanted to. He saw what was going wrong with the Democrat policies. Which, name me one city under Democrat control with mayors, starting with California, that are not a total train wreck.
Oh, my gosh. We just had a story on this morning about Baltimore, which has now become the murder capital of the world. I mean, it's more murders in Baltimore for 2019 than even in New York City. Amazing.
Absolutely. Well, look at the homeless. Look at the sanctuary cities. Their policies are flawed. Yeah. And he's calling attention to it. And I look forward to another 4 years of Donald Trump unleashed. This country will be... we will not see this country thrive like it will do. And, you know, I'm just glad he's not apologizing for the country, for the things in the past. Right. He's moving forward, and he's building a great base to work from.
It's going to be an interesting election, that's for sure. And we could spend the next 20 minutes just talking about that and the impeachment. But let me talk about a couple of things you're involved with. It's interesting. You've got a piece of legislation that that basically wants to help the VA out to do their job better. They amass billions of pieces of data, but they've got no way, as I understand it, to really bring the expertise to the table to massage it to figure out how they can get better results upon the services that they are providing. So you got a piece of legislation which basically says, let's take the brain power over the DOD, Department of Defense, and let them work on massaging this data to help out the VA. Is that about right?
Well, it's Department of Energy.
Department of Energy, under Rick Perry.
It's the Department of Energy's Veterans Bill, House Resolution 617. And what it does is we found out that the veterans, like you were saying, had the medical records, but nowhere to store them. The DOE, Department of Energy, had the supercomputers. They had the manpower. So what we did was put up a bill, and I had a number of co-sponsors, and passed the House, passed the Senate, and hopefully the President's going to sign it, which he will. But it helps the veterans in so many ways to store their records, to have immediate access to the records. And I can't think of a better group of people to help than our veterans. And that's one thing that I've really enjoyed about serving in Congress. We've helped so many veterans, not just with this bill, but with other issues they have with spanning from the health issues, getting the DD-214, solving things. I have a guy coming over as soon as I finish this interview that's had an issue with his treatment. And we get involved. I've got great people. But this bill will go a long way to solving the medical records side of this. There are a lot more things we need to be doing. But
so why does it take a piece of legislation to do something if the two secretaries agree that this will work? Why couldn't they just go ahead and do it rather than go through this legislative process?
Well, there's money involved. You've got to get agreement from the DOE to say, yes, we can take these records when it's sent over. Yes, we have the capacity to store it. Yes, we will provide the service. And luckily, though, in a good way, it wasn't that partisan. It took some time. I put this up when I first got to Congress, the first 8 months. And the great thing about it is it didn't meet any resistance. Partisanship did not get involved. The veterans have the hearts of most members of Congress, whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
Good.
And which is a good thing.
As it should be. All righty. So let's talk about the Department of Defense. You've got another bill over there that basically is going to allow a certain class of Navy vessel, which is unarmed right now, to be armed so that it can be prepared for anything that might come its way. It's interesting that legislation is pending right now when the Navy is sitting and talking about reducing the number of warships. It's just a study. It's just a conversation. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, but it's interesting that conversation is going on while you're having this one.
We've got, and I didn't realize this until we delved into it, we've got exploratory ships that basically go out for a number of things, humanitarian aid, refueling, other uses that are put out to sea. They've got to be defended. And while in the past we've had to send a fighter ship that had guns and ability to protect what's on board with them, which was a tremendous cost. So we put up a bill that let's put the equipment on these ships, the latest equipment. We have one here in Rock Hill, the MCI, and I call it the MCI bill, where they were mounted on the ships, they can protect themselves, and not have to have another fighter ship that can be used for other things. So it's just manning the ships that are out there anyway, putting the equipment on it, and it's a common sense approach. And that's one thing this president's done. If it's common sense, if it's will have a return on the investment, he's supporting it, and he gives up or down on these as we put things up. But we just know he, at the end of the day, is going to sign it. It's into the appropriations bill that he will sign off on, so it's already funded. So I'm looking forward to having that into practice.
So what do you think his reaction is to that story that came out over the weekend that the Navy is studying the possibility of reducing the number of new ships that it needs, right, from 355 down to 320 or something along those lines? Well, I mean, he's hell bent on building up the military.
He is, but he wants to do it smart. Yeah. He wants to. He doesn't want to. Doesn't want duplication. It's like the embassy in Israel. You know, the millions that it was going to cost. He did it for a fraction of that. He's a businessman with a common sense approach, and he's going to look at what he's done for the military the short time he's been there. And what he wants to do is economize, yet put the latest equipment out there. And he'll spend the money, but he wants to do it smart. And he wants to make sure all the minds that are looking at this, that it at the end of the day, will get the job done.
It's going to be something because, you know, I was in that round table we talked about earlier of the CBS News correspondents. Another one of them, David Martin, who covers the Pentagon, was speculating that one of the stories that will come upon us in the next year or two will be some kind of a device that China or North Korea or somebody develops that'll knock out a key satellite that we have up there that, as Martin said, would be a wake-up call to America about the real threat it faces from these emerging countries.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting about the space exploration. People think it's just a pie in the sky spending of money. It's not. It's military defense. Jim Bridenstine, who does a tremendous job of heading that group up, is we had an hour-long discussion with him, and it's not a question of should we do it. We can't afford not to do it from a protection standpoint for our military. China, North Korea, the countries that are at odds with us, are moving. They want to dominate the world. And America has been in their sights since their existence. So space exploration plays a big part of that.
Anything that you might know that we don't know involving our friend Mr. Kim Jong-un over there in North Korea and his Christmas surprise?
It's like the president said. He mentioned one of his announcements that, you know, he said, I get a lot of surprises, and I'll take them one at a time. And if Kim Jong-un has a surprise, then do it. We will respond to it. The great thing about this president, they know he will respond. He does not make political decisions based on anything, but is it good for America, and will it protect this country? And what I've learned up there, the military, it respect him. They know he does it for the right reasons. He's got their back. Now, and that has not been done for a previous 8 years that I can remember.
Well, and in fact, I believe some of the Iraqi-backed militias have felt a little bit of what Mr. Trump's determination is. The F-15s that were dispatched over there to knock out some of those missile sites that had thrown up a bunch of rockets and killed one of our American contractors over there. I mean, he warned them, and now he acted on what he said he would do.
And he'll continue to do that. The 10 Christians that were beheaded because the president killed Baghdadi. They'll hear from the president, and he walks off with it. He carries a tremendous stick, and he will use it, which has not been the case before.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, secure with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now, Sophia is joining us for lunch today at Substation 2, and she is going to lead us in the magic chant that everybody knows who eats here all the time. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. And how do they do it, everybody? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is opening soon in Fort Mill. This is Michelle Walk, Emergency Department Director at Piedmont Medical Center. This January, Piedmont Medical Center will open the area's first standalone emergency room. Open 24/7, 365, the Gold Hill ED location will offer the same services as a hospital-based emergency room. There are 12 treatment spaces where our team of emergency medical professionals will be ready to treat any medical condition or injury you or your family need when it matters most. Visit GoldHillER.com to learn more.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
If you need catering, Substation 2 has a number of options. Right, Charlie?
At Substation 2, we have giant party subs, we have sliced deli meat trays, we have sandwich trays. We basically have everything you need for the party except the people, and we can supply them too.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Wow, golly day, I've known this guy forever. I never got one of them. What am I, chopped liver? Come on. That's very nice.
Don't bite into it.
That is a very nice coin from the United States Congress that Congressman Norman just gave to a young lady, all of 16 years of age, who was here with lunch with her dad. How about that? Very nice. Very nice. See you all. Have fun. Okay. Ralph Norman is known for not being, not being a big fan of grants after grant after grant after grant after grant, because it's just a lot of pork belly spending that we've all become used to for generations. However, you did support a couple of local grants because you could see the return on the investment. You want to talk about those?
Sure. And, you know, as I tell people, when I first ran for office for the State House in 05 and now as I serve in Congress, I wasn't sent to Congress to bankrupt the country. And when you look at what's out there, we've got to address spending. This next year, that's one of my main goals. Anything that doesn't have an offset and doesn't have a net gain over the expenses, I will not vote for. Now, what I did find out on money that's already been appropriated, that's going to be put either to projects in South Carolina or going to other states, if it makes sense, I'm going to vote for it. We had three. One in Lancaster to curb youth violence. We had one in Whitmire that was used for water quality and infrastructure. As $1.2 million loan and then a grant of $448,000. They had one in Chester on violence that went to the police department. Things like that I'm going to support and encourage because I think that's the least we can do. I don't want the money going somewhere else. And I will, if it makes economic sense, and these three do, I'm excited about it. And I'll gladly defend that. And, you know, it's a pleasure to do. That being said, we have got to get the nation's finances in order, and we've got to do it agency by agency.
Well, let's get into that. We have a few minutes left in the program because I'm wondering how you're going to begin to even tackle that. Everybody has their pet peeves and things that they want to continue to support. Nobody wants to give up anything. The biggest bulk of our spending goes to things like Medicare and to Social Security. I mean, I can see, just sitting on this side of the table, that if you ever decided to tinker with those, all hell would break loose from the American public because it would be distorted upon about the changes that you're proposing. Yet if you don't fix those, you're never going to be able to fix the budget.
Well, and that's true to some extent, but you got to remember, we got a president who, once he's reelected, he understands you can't spend your way out of debt. You've got to make cuts like all of us do in our businesses, all of us do in our family household budgets. And it's, I'm not saying it's easy, and there are 435 members of Congress. I've got one vote. But what I'm doing is calling attention to it, and by my vote, we will hopefully have people and have the congressman understand that we've got to have some even modest cuts would do amazing things for the stock market. I'm on the budget committee. I proposed a 10% cut in a program that should have been eliminated. And you would have thought the sky was falling. And anybody that comes in my office asking for money, my question is, where am I going to get the money and what's the offset? And I also ask them, in the particular agency that you want funding for, tell me some savings that you can recommend that we can work on. Let's do this together. I just think it makes sense, and it should not be adversarial. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, $22 trillion in debt is not where I want to end up for our children and our grandchildren, and we got to put a stop to it. Now, it comes down to the individual congressman saying no. It's a lot easier to say yes, but we've got to, as a doctor prescribes medicine, we got to cure the patient. And at this point, the patient is drowning in debt.
It sure would be helpful if you had what would I call it, a responsible media that would report objectively on whatever the plan is that makes sense so that people understood what was being requested. I mean, when you talk about something like Social Security, nobody's trying to take it away from grandma or grandpa. They're talking about a future generation, your kids, right? Your children are probably in their 40s. So we'll modify it for them by the time they reach retirement age. Maybe they won't get anything until they're 70 instead of 65. Or maybe they'll get some kind of a reduced benefit based on what their income is or whatever. But these things never seem to get reported objectively so that people understand what's being requested.
No, it's not, and it's unfair. It's unfair to the taxpayers. Well, look what's happening now. You know, it's been, you know, basically 3 years trying to throw out the results of an election that was American people voted on. But, you know, the budget can't exist, and 70% of the budget income goes to the mandatory spending, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and interest on the debt. The other's discretionary. But it's so important, man, to have a strong military that's going to defend this country. We've got to have a solvent nation. We have got to have the dollars to fund it. And I'm simply not going to let it go by without at least bringing the topic for discussion. And whether I get the votes or not, to not put it up, responsible legislation is not an option. So I'm going to put it up. I'm going to put it on social media. And we're going to advertise it and let the people know. And let the people ultimately make the judgment, as they have done with elections. And that's called consequences.
Absolutely. It's going to be a difficult discussion, but I think one that will be able to be advanced if, in fact, the president is reelected and he doesn't have to worry about another election cycle. Because if you're in there, you're an incumbent, you're a lame duck, whatever you want to call it, you don't have to worry about all this stuff that's going on now. You can just go about your job because it's the right thing to do. And I just don't understand why this continues to get kicked down the road, because all we're doing is setting it up for our grandchildren to be in a mess, a real mess. Because if anybody calls those notes, we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Well, we are. And to be put in that position, and I've heard it described as the deficit, the debt, is the most unfair tax to pass on to our future generations.
Right. In fact, as your predecessor, Mick Mulvaney, used to say, if we had to defend Hong Kong, Taiwan, or whatever, we'd have to go borrow the money from the Chinese to fight the battle, because we ain't got the money to do it.
He's exactly right, too, as Mick right. normally is.
All right. Ralph, thanks very much for being on the program, for all you do, and we'll stay with it. Look forward to getting you back here again.
Happy
That'll
New
wrap
Year.
Up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And I would do this if President Trump was sitting right there.
I would.
And I bet you he would go along with me. But look who came in. Next best thing to the president, Representative Randy Ligon. All right, 1, 2, 3. How do we do it here, guys?
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend. Or, I mean, day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.